You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yes, we are solid and conservative and just plain right. Time now, 2:07 p.m. It is Wednesday. All right, but let me ask you this. I'm gonna get into my comments here, my opening monologue, and I don't know if any of y'all are boxing fans. I'm a fan, but not avidly. But there's one fight, though, that I actually did the whole pay-per-view thing for. I had some guys over to the house. We set up in the den back when pay-per-view was a lot bigger deal, and it was harder to do, by the way. For those of you that don't remember, those days we actually had to make the reservation well in advance and go down to the local cable TV office and rent the box to be able to get the signal. Of course, this was also back in the days of clunky computer screens and cell phones that didn't fit in your pocket and newspapers that still showed up on your doorstep in the morning. But I digress. The fight that I'm talking about was the Tyson-Holyfield fight. Actually, it was their second fight in June of 97. The two men had met for their first bout about 7 months prior, and the world watched an epic upset as Evander Holyfield, against 25-1 odds, completely outboxed Tyson and left him out on his feet in the 10th round. A technical knockout, TKO, no denying it. Holyfield became the only man besides Muhammad Ali to win the world heavyweight title three times that night. But the one that I watched on pay-per-view was the one that happened 7 months later, and it was also notorious for other reasons. Now, I paid good money for what became just a 2.5-round debacle. In the second round, after taking an initial beating and complaining of a headbutt, Tyson and Holyfield were in a clinch, and Tyson inexplicably bit off a chunk of Holyfield's ear and spit it out on the canvas. For reasons unknown, the fight was allowed to go on, and dang if Tyson didn't bite Holyfield's other ear in the next round. At that point, the fight was stopped. Holyfield was declared the winner, but the before and the after of that fight were also very telling. See, I recall very vividly the two fighters in their locker rooms before the fight had very different approaches to gearing up. In Tyson's locker room, there was like angry rap music blaring and a bunch of guys playing the part of gangsters and hangers-on. They were standing around telling him he was the greatest, with all kinds of profanity telling him what he was going to do because it was his right. It was prideful, arrogant, angry. It was like there was a massive chip on everybody's shoulder. Holyfield's locker room was completely different. Praise music was playing. One guy kept shouting scripture at him like, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," with lots of amens and encouragement. You talk about opposites. And then there was the fight. Well, sort of fight, with ear bites and all. Holyfield went to his corner only to be pushed from behind by Tyson. Security had to come into the ring and guard Holyfield from an enraged Tyson and then force Tyson back to his own corner. After the fight, Tyson lost his boxing license, and he went down in history as the biggest sore loser in the history of the sport. Many years later, Tyson has worked to rehabilitate his personal image, but has always struggled since that day, not because he lost, but because of what he did after he lost. You see, those ear bites, they didn't occur because things were going his way. He lashed out because of the perceived headbutt and the general whooping that he was getting. But he lost also because of his inability to stay on task and fight like he was trained. When the fight was called for Holyfield, he lost it. He cast blame, Tyson did. He took no ownership for his part in the loss. It was apparent from his pre-fight locker room that Tyson and Holyfield had different underpinnings, different motivations, different views overall. What happened when the fight didn't go his way for Tyson was likely built upon what happened before the fight even started. And see, that's my point. Sometimes how you exit, how you leave the arena, is just as important as how you would have been had you stayed. What you do with a loss can really mean more to you than what you do with a victory. I'll never forget when I was at Ranger School so many years ago, an experience that honestly made me want to quit several times a day. I was in the back of a deuce and a half truck coming in from the final patrol in the desert phase out in Utah. The fact that that patrol was over meant that I had passed everything. I had passed the whole course, almost. Because we were told in no uncertain terms that until we graduated, we had not graduated, and that honor violations could still keep us from becoming Rangers. Now, there's somebody in the truck said something about that, and it caused a comment about one of the other guys in the truck, and that guy just smiled and didn't say much. But when I asked what was up, I was shocked at the answer. This guy in my Ranger class, he had just completed Ranger school basically that day for the second time. Turns out he had finished it once before, but before the graduation ceremony, he got caught snagging a candy bar that he wasn't allowed to have. It was an honor violation, and it got him boloed right out of the course despite having met all of the training requirements. But this guy went back to his unit, and he fought his way back up the Order of Merit list, and he won the right to come back and do the whole thing over again a year later. One of the hardest physical and mental military schools in the world, and he did it a second time. To add to the story, he was not even an infantryman. He was a cook. A cook! In the 75th Ranger Regiment, a combat spoon. And he was not going to let his legacy, though, in the Ranger Regiment be a failure. So he came back, and he secured his legacy forever. Well, here's the thing. Last night's election was it. Fini. Done. Finished. Depending on who you supported and or voted for, you might either be mad or excited. I don't do endorsements on this show, but I can tell you that some of who I voted for won and some lost. But the candidates themselves, they're feeling it deeper than most. Last night's winners saw the fruition of a year's worth of work. And those who lost, and sometimes lost big, they had the painful sting of feeling rejected or at the very least disappointed. What those who lost do with it now will be what defines their legacy. Now, I fully expect that Katie Britt and Dale Strong will be very effective members of Alabama's U.S. delegation. I feel confident that Wes Allen and Andrew Sorrell will do great work as Secretary of State and Auditor. I have no doubts that Keith Kelly and Ben Harrison will make good state legislators. Congratulations to all of them, and well done. Having said that, though, there are some folks right now who are licking their wounds this morning who absolutely have something more to offer to this state. My sincere hope is that those folks like Congressman Mo Brooks and Colonel Casey Wardinsky, even Mike Durant and Rusty Glover and Paul Sanford and Bill Holtzclaw, and probably some others that I'm forgetting. My hope is that those guys realize that their ability to impact culture is not solely vested in the outcome of an election. I mean, heck, look at what I'm doing. Who knew that after representing four counties in the state Senate, that I would have a radio show that gives me the opportunity to speak to nearly half the state every single day? A bigger daily opportunity than I could have ever imagined. Now, losing sucks, but losing happens. And what you do with it is what defines you. And to be honest, the state could use some of those voices in the days to come. So let's hope that the way they go out means as much as how they would have been had they stayed. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there it is. Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's what you do now that matters. All right, and we have, by the way, we got a great pool of candidates. I say candidates because most of them still have a general election to go through. But nonetheless, they are the nominees. They're not candidates. They're the nominees. And they're going forward, and I'm going to support every one of them. And I hope you will, too. Because we as voters, we may also have our downside to this. We may be disappointed in the outcome because it's not what we wanted. But the truth be told, what you've got right now is still better than what the Democrats are offering. And I'm pretty sure we all need to coalesce around them and make it big, big, big in the fall. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.